Good morning, everyone. We're thankful that you're here this morning, and this morning we're going to be talking about the subject of decisions. Every day, you and I are called upon to make decisions in life. Some of those decisions are popular, some are not popular. But I know one thing, that our decisions will determine our destiny. People don't like to make decisions. Sometimes people say, well, you know, I'm just finding it so difficult to decide exactly what to do. And sometimes people say, I just want to stay in limbo. But you can't stay in limbo. There is a choice that you have to make in everything that you do. And just always remember that the choice that you make will eventually make you. I was thinking about that this morning. Every morning we get up and we all face decisions in our lives. We sometimes those decisions have a little bearing on our destiny, however. We have to decide about the color of our clothes. This morning when you got up, you tried to decide what you were going to wear, or perhaps the color of the shoes that you were going to put on, or maybe the restaurant you're going to go eat at after lunch today or after the worship service. Sometimes people have to make decisions as to whether or not they're going to use Verizon or whether they're going to use AT&T, a cell phone service. And so there are always those decisions that we have to make in life. We have to choose, however, one of two ways. There are many choices that have far-reaching eternal consequences, and that's really what we want to talk about this morning. We are free to choose, but we are not free to refrain from choosing. You do not get to choose the consequences of your choices. You know, it would be wonderful if we made a mistake and then we could go back and just rectify all of those consequences that might arise out of making that decision, but that is impossible to do. There are some things that should not govern our decision making, however, and that is, first of all, the temporal things of life. Sometimes people look short-term instead of long-term. We look at the temporal things instead of things that are eternal. A lot of people make a decision based upon their own human wisdom, something that they've always done. We often call it tradition, or maybe feelings. Solomon said, there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is the way of death. And so it would certainly be inappropriate and would not be a wise thing for us to base the decisions that we make in life only upon our feelings. I know that feelings enter into it, but certainly feelings are not the only thing that might be involved. We have to get off the fence, however. In the book of 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse 21, the Bible talks about Elijah and how he came to the people and said, how long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him. But the people answered him not a word. You see, they were lost in limbo. They wanted to halt between those two opinions. And Elijah was just simply saying, hey, if you're going to serve God, get with it. But if you're going to serve Baal, hey, that's your choice also. But you'll have to live with that choice. But we have to get off the fence. We cannot stay in the middle where we are. We have to realize in life that there are choices that we are called upon to make and choices that we must make. In the book of Joshua 24, 14 through 15, Joshua said, now therefore fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. He said, serve the Lord, and if it seem evil to you to serve the Lord, well, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which our father served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You see, a lot of people just do not want to make decisions in life, and yet we need to realize that to not make a decision is to make a decision. Many years ago, a young reporter was given the opportunity to interview a very successful and wealthy banker. Well, the reporter asked him the question. He said, sir, what is the secret to your success? And he said, son, he said, I can just tell you in two words. And he said, well, what are they? He said, right decisions. And the reporter said, but how do you make the right decisions? He said, I can tell you in one word. And he said, and sir, what is it? He said, experience. And he said, well, how do you get experience? He said, just two words. And he said, sir, what are they? And the banker with a wry smile said, wrong decisions. You see, sometimes in life we all make wrong decisions in life, and there are consequences that are attached to those decisions. One afternoon, a man was driving down the highway to visit a nearby lake and relax on his way. Well, on his way to the lake, a guy dressed from head to toe in red, standing on the side of the road of the highway there, just kind of gestures to him to stop. Well, the man rolls down the window and says, "How can I help you?" And the man says, "Well, I'm the red jerk of the highway. You got something to eat?" And with a smile on his face, the guy hands a sandwich to the fellow in red and drives away. Not even 5 minutes later, he comes across another guy. This guy is dressed in yellow fully and standing on the side of the road and waving for him to stop. A bit irritated, the guy stops, cranks down the window and says, "What can I do for you?" And he said, "Well, I'm the yellow jerk of the highway. You got something to drink?" Hardly managing to smile this time, he hands the guy a can of Coke and stomps on the pedal and takes off again, just going as fast as he can in order to make it to the lakeside before sunset. He decided to just keep going faster and not stop no matter what. But to his frustration, up ahead he sees another guy on the side of the road. This one is dressed in blue and signaling for him to stop. Reluctantly, our guy decides to stop one last time. He rolls down the window and he says, "Hey, let me guess, you're the blue jerk of the highway, and just what do you want to have?" And the man looked at him and said, "Your driver's license and your registration on your automobile." Well, believe it or not, sometimes we make unwise decisions in life. We have to choose between life and death, however, for in the book of Deuteronomy 30, verse 15 through 17, the man of God said to Israel, "I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. And in that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in all of his ways, to keep his commandments, his statutes, and his judgments, that you may live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land wherever you go to possess it. But if your heart turns away, so that you will not hear, and you're drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, then certainly God's going to fail us." Choose between life and death, he said in Deuteronomy 30, 18 through 19. "I announce to you today that you shall surely perish if you do not serve God. You shall not prolong your days in the land which you cross over the Jordan to go in to possess. And I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life that both you and your descendants may live." There are two possible destinies in life. Jesus spoke of them in the book of Matthew 7, 13 through 14. He said, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." You see, there are only two ways, the right way and the wrong way, and the right way being that way of Jesus in John 14, who said in verse 6 that, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me." He said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free," John 8:32. So we're to follow Christ, but there is a wrong way, and that's that way that is any other way other than God's way. It's the way that Paul mentioned in Galatians chapter 1, verse 6 through 9. When he says, "Though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which has been preached unto you," he says, "let him be anathema," or "let him be accursed." There are only two attitudes in life that we can possess, brethren. That's the godly and the ungodly attitude. For we read in Matthew 5, 3 through 5, what we commonly call the Beatitudes in the Sermon on the Mount. These beautiful words were given by Jesus. And he says in verse 5 and following, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." Only two attitudes in life. Blessed are the pure in heart, he goes on to say, for they shall see God. And blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. And finally, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I want to talk to you this morning about the attitudes, I think, that will determine whether or not we're going to go to heaven. And every choice and every decision we make must be based upon these attitudes. First of all, there is attitude of humility. Paul says in Philippians 2, verse 3 through 4, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. And let each of you look not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. And then there's the attitude of repentance in 2 Corinthians 7:10. Paul says, for godly sorrow produces repentance, leading to salvation, not to be regretted, but the sorrow of the world produces death. Few people in life want to repent and want to change, but that's what God calls upon us to do. In the book of Luke 13:3, Jesus said, unless you repent, you shall all likewise perish. And the word repentance became the central thought of every apostolic sermon in the New Testament. Repent, get right with God. Even in the book of Acts chapter 3, in that second sermon that Peter preached, he says, repent and get right with God. Be converted. Change your ways. But then there is the attitude of submission, and that means that we must kneel at the cross of Jesus. For in James 4, 7 through 8, the Bible says, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. And cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. You see, many people are double-minded in life, and we don't like to submit to anyone. We want to submit to ourselves and submit to Christ at the same time, which is an impossibility. Can't serve two masters. You'll either cling to one and despise the other, or love one and hate the other. So it's either God or you or others. Now, there is that attitude also of seeking truth. Psalm 63:1, David said, O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. Oh, how we ought to seek the truth. We ought to be seekers of Christ. Jesus said, blessed are those who seek, for they shall find. He said, knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Ask, and it shall be given unto you. But then there's the attitude of loving. Oh, if there's one attitude we need in the body of Christ today and in families and in our world, it has to be that of love. Colossians 3, verse 12 through 14, Paul challenges the church with these words. He said, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so also you must do. But above all these things, he says, put on love, which is that bond of perfection. It is the super glue of life. It is that which welds us to one another. It is an attitude that Jesus reflected in his life, and it certainly is an attitude that ought to be reflected in ours. We must have a loving attitude. You see, these things help us in making the right decisions. Sometimes our decisions are predicated upon bitterness towards someone else, or holding grudges towards someone else, or hating someone else. And sometimes they're based upon insincerity. But one of the attitudes that we ought to have is that of a sincere attitude. It is my attitude that will determine my altitude, whether I go to heaven or not. 1 Peter 1:22 declares, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the spirit and sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. A pure heart, a sincere attitude, and it should be reflected in all that we do. Now, I understand that sincerity is not enough. You know, there are a lot of people in our world who believe, well, you know, if I'm sincere, then, you know, that's the crux of the matter. I've heard people say, well, you know, they're so sincere, and I just believe if I'm sincere, God's going to save me. But that's just not true at all, because you can be sincerely wrong just as you can be sincerely right and really believe things to be right when in actuality God condemns them. So before you make a decision, certainly espouse sincerity, but not sincerity alone. But then there is the attitude of peace. It's the attitude that James 3, verse 17 and 18 says, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, he says, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of the righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. It wasn't by accident that Jesus actually said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God, because that is a reflection of God. And it certainly reflects upon him that if we endeavor to have peace with others, Paul says, live peaceably among you, as much as in you is. Jesus said we ought to be those who are given to peace, to try to bring about peace in the world, and yet there are so many who seek to divide by decisions that they make in life. And sometimes decisions will put one brother against another brother, or a sister against another sister, or vice versa. And sometimes having that attitude of doing your own thing and not trying to promote peace will result in division. It divides the kingdom of God, the church. It divides families. It divides the world in which we live. It divides our own nation. But then there is an attitude of patience. We must change our attitude at times, because sometimes we're just so impatient. And sometimes we have little forbearance with those around us. The Colossians 1 verse 10 to 11 says that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy. Isn't it interesting that Paul would say this, and yet Peter would say the same thing in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 to 11, when he talks about what we call the Christian graces. He says that we're to add that temperance, patience, be patient with one another. Sometimes we are so impatient, and even when we pray, we want God to respond to us immediately. We are not patient enough sometimes to wait for God to give us an answer, perhaps maybe to the petitions that we make of him. But we must learn patience. And James, the man who wrote the book of James in the New Testament, tells us that patience is to have its perfect work. Sometimes we just have to wait on the Lord and be patient with him. And in due time, God will send the answer. In due time, God will send the blessing. We just have to get rid of our pride and understand that, God is the one who has his own timetable. And we have to abide by that. You see, there are only two responses to making decisions, too. We have to obey the gospel. The Bible in the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7 to 9 speaks about those who are challenged to make that right response to Christ. When we make a decision, we have to predicate it again upon the gospel. And Paul says, listen to this, "Do you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus Christ shall be revealed from heaven in flaming fire?" He says, "taking vengeance on those who know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ." We must be obedient to the gospel, and that should be the most important decision one ever makes. And we have to obey that gospel, acting with divine authority. Colossians 3, verse 17, the Bible says, "Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord." We must put God first in our lives. That's what Jesus taught, wasn't it? He must be number one, for if he is not Lord of all, he is not Lord at all. We must put the Lord first in our life regarding worship. When we come together, we must understand that we are to worship acceptably before God, but also understand the importance of being here to worship. For in Acts chapter 20 and verse 7, the Bible says they came together on the first day of the week. And we're challenged to do the same thing, Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25, and not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. But then also, even when it comes to giving, some people stop at nothing. They never give to God, and yet they want God to give to them. Is it conceivable that God is going to make that decision himself to give to us when we make a decision that reflects our lack of love and that we do not give to God? Certainly not. But then also, even when it comes to serving, we must put the Lord first in our life. We should understand that we are servants of Christ. We are not celebrities in the kingdom. No one is more important than the other. We all stand on level ground before God. And even when it comes to working in the kingdom of God, Matthew 6:33, the Bible says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." You see, this morning, you stand at a crossroads. You do. You're facing the crossroad. That you see that one road leads to the left and one leads to the right. And the one that leads to the left is the one that leads to hell and separation from God. But the one that goes to the right is the one that leads to heaven and to God and the faithful saints and the angels who rejoiced at your baptism. We just have to remember that we have to make one decision. There are two that confront us, but we have to make them. We have to decide whether we're going to the left or whether we're going to the right. And some people ask the question, well, how can I become a Christian and follow that path and have that attitude and be able to make wise decisions? Well, we here at Crockett Road still believe in the plan of salvation that God gave. We believe that a person must hear the word of God. For Romans 10:17 says, you know, we must hear the word, but how shall they hear without a preacher? How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace, for faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. And then we must have the attitude of wanting to believe what we hear. For Jesus said in John 8:24, except you believe that I really am the Christ, the Son of God, you shall in no wise enter the kingdom of heaven. He said, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. John 14, verse 1 and following. And then we must repent of our sins. Few find it easy to really repent and change from an old way of life, way we've always walked. But the Bible says in order to go to heaven, we must change. We must repent. Luke 13, verse 3 through 5. And there again, it was that central thought of every sermon preached by Paul, by Peter, by John, by others who proclaimed the message of Christ. But then we must confess Jesus. It's not enough just to walk up here to the front and confess that you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and then go out and live like the devil and live as if he is not your Lord and Master. But we must confess him every day. And then we must be baptized for the remission of our sins, to begin that new life with Christ, to be resurrected to a life of service. And that brings us again to this thought of being faithful unto God. Jesus taught in Revelation 2 and verse 10, we must be faithful. You see, decisions will determine one's destiny. Life on earth will end one of these days, and you will come to another fork in the road. And where that road ends will be determined by which way you choose. Let me ask you this morning, which way will you choose? Which way will you choose? Which attitude will you display? Will you have the attitude of Christ or the attitude of the world? And which actions will you carry out? You see, you're free to choose, but you're not free to not choose. There are two doors that stand before you even this morning. And one of those doors is a stairway to heaven. It leads to life eternal. And the other is a door that leads to a burning hell. And you're going to walk through one of those doors. You are. This morning, you are confronted with a decision, and the decision that you make will have eternal consequences. You cannot stay in limbo. You will have to decide. Now, we're going to sing a song of encouragement this morning, and if you feel the need to respond to make sure that you're on the right road, I hope you'll do that. And if you're not on the right road, I hope you will walk through that door that leads to life this morning and not look back. And we ask you to do that while we stand. And while we sing.